This morning, if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Ephesians 3, 7 through 13. And this morning, we're kind of picking up where we left off last week. We know that last week we were talking about how God desired for the Gentiles to have the same blessings, the same inheritance that the Jews had. And so we saw that Paul is trying to emphasize this to the people in Ephesus at Ephesians, and so we see that God is trying to through Paul to show these people exactly what kind of a promise that he is making to them. Now, kind of where we're at this week, I want us to stop and think as we get started in the scripture. That we will see Paul, he's told them last week that they had the same opportunity in verse 6, that they had to believe the good news and share equality and the riches inherited by God's children. This is verse 6. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Every one of them belong to Christ Jesus. And so we see that this is all open to us, folks, every one of us. We receive the same riches and the same blessing because Christ died upon that cross for us and because he has prepared for us a place. And so we see that Paul is trying to make them understand this. Now, let's stop and talk about Paul just a minute before we read the scripture. You know, when I think about Paul, I think about, I don't know how old he was when he got converted. Do you know, Brian? I just always in my mind, I think about Paul being about 40-something year old, you know, and I don't know why that is, but that's just the way I look at it. But I think about Paul being a middle-aged, kind of younger middle-aged guy when he is converted. He's lived a life that is, he's crucified, you know, he's persecuted the Christians. He's killed them. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He's done everything, folks. And to be someone that would completely turn around, that's almost unheard of, isn't it? Really and truly, that's almost unheard of. If you ask Tammy, she would say, not really, because she watched me go from being a Paul to being where I'm at today. Completely turned around. I think she'd tell you 100% complete turnaround. So I know Dickie's seen people that make those turnarounds. Some don't. Some never do. But Paul did. And what I want you to see is I think the one thing that Paul learned when he made that turnaround, folks, was he really and truly, we talk about it, and we say we do, but Paul really and truly understood who turned him around. It wasn't something he done on his own. It was something that he done through Jesus Christ, because Christ was who turned him around. I can remember when I was thinking about getting my life turned around, and I can remember Tammy saying one day to me, she said, well, how are you going to get turned around? How do you think you're going to get turned around? Where are you going to go that can straighten you out? Where are you going to find the help that you need? And I can remember saying, I think if I do my 50%, God will do his 50%. And he will help me. And if I'll help him, he will help me. And we can turn around. And we did. So, folks, a lot of times we think we turned around, and we think we turned around on our own. We give ourselves all the credit. You can't do it by yourself. I guarantee you can't do it by yourself. And so we look at Paul, and we see that him realizing that Jesus Christ was in the only thing that allowed this to happen. I know that's what happened with me. Jesus Christ is the only thing that allowed it to happen. As Paul lived into it, I allowed it to happen. And Paul, after he was converted after he was changed. The humility that this man has is one thing that I cannot get over. I mean, he talks about it constantly. He's always saying something about God and his grace and his mighty promise and power. And so we see this in verse 7. It starts out Paul realizing that unless he's humble, unless he shows humility, he is nothing. Because if he gets up and starts talking about himself, starts talking about what he can do, what he has done, he's nothing. Folks, he's nothing. I can testify to this. He's nothing. And so he starts out by saying in verse 7, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. This is where the good news is, what we're just talking about, that he's given both to Gentiles and Jews the same riches, that they can inherit the same riches. And so he says, by God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in his rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authority in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently in the presence, in God's presence. So please, don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. See, folks, there's so much right here in this little piece of scripture. We see that the humility of Paul and him saying, I am just totally, what we'd say today, I'm just totally blown out of the water because God has chosen me to allow me to bring this message to his people, to allow me to be the one to teach the other people about Jesus Christ and what he has in store for each and every one of us. And Paul is saying, I can't believe it. I can't believe after what I was and what I've done that God would have chosen me. Why me? You know, why me? And so I sometimes, folks, when I read Ephesians, is one of my favorites, but it is something that causes me to stop and to think about it's not me, it's Christ that lives within me. And Paul knew this, and he realized this. And this is what this humility and Paul trying to make the people there in Ephesus understand that, folks, you can't do anything. You have to be open to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit to come and to pour out upon you, and you will have the power to do wonderful things. And so he's telling them that you have endless treasures available to them through Christ Jesus. Endless treasures. Now, folks, sometimes when we think about endless treasures, we think about heaven, we think about the streets of gold, we think about all the things that's there for us when we leave this world, then we will have treasures stored up for us. And that is true. We do not know what all treasures we'll have when we get to heaven. That's going to be the most wonderful thing that ever was. And that's going to be the grandest thing that can ever happen to you. If you're dreading dying, if you're dreading leaving this world right here, then you're not in line with the Lord. Yes, the human side of us tells us that we want to live here. We want to be with our friends. We want to be with our family. And we love it here. And this is all we know. But look at the things that's happening in this world today, folks. Just look at how it's broken. Look at the things that, that's going on around you. And yes, it's more in some of the bigger cities, but it's coming. It's coming to us. It's coming all around us. And we have to get ready for it. But what do? We kind of turn our heads and we say, well, it doesn't affect us. And it's like Dickie said this morning, we get sucker punched. And that's, you know, that's kind of what happens when we let our guard down. And that's kind of what happened with Israel. They've kind of let their guard down. 50 years ago yesterday, that was when the worst attack it had been was 50 years yesterday. The anniversary of 50 years, they were there to do it again, except 10 times worse or 100 times worse. You see, folks, we begin to let our guard down, and then the enemy attacks. It can attack you from a neighboring country. It can attack you from a neighbor that you live beside. It can attack you from any kind of way in the world. The enemy will attack. But with Jesus, we know that when that enemy attacks and we're taken home, we're good. We're good. It's going to be the most wonderful, wonderful thing. So he says, I'm allowed to explain to everyone this, Paul was saying. To everyone. Folks, to everyone, that's you. That's me. He's allowed to tell everyone. He's allowed to write this scripture and for it to be placed in the Bible. He says, God has allowed me. He's given me the opportunity to tell everyone. And so that's what Paul is doing. But it's up to us. You say, well, that's your and Brian's job. It is, but it's also y'all's job to tell everyone you can about that news. This mysterious plan that God has created, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. And he said, then God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his great wisdom in the rich variety of all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, to display his great wisdom through the church, folks. We are the church, all of us. We're the church. We make up the church. And we're not the only church. There's churches everywhere that are truly God's churches that preach and teach the Bible like they should. And they're still here. There's a lot of churches that are giving in to this way of the world. There's a lot of churches that are giving in to just because they think it's the thing to do, to love everybody. It is. We love everybody. We love everyone. Nobody's not loved. But, folks, you got to say, this is what Christ says. It's not what Mike says. It's what Christ says. And so we see that this, he is saying, our great wisdom is on display because of the church. You see God's wisdom in this book. He's revealed his wisdom through this book, and he will reveal more wisdom to you. But when he reveals this wisdom to you, what do? With it? You ponder on it for maybe a few days or a few months, and you don't say anything about it. Because God has revealed this to me, and if I tell JT what God has revealed to me, he's going to say, Mike, you are crazy. And I don't want him to think I'm crazy. So God reveals through his church to other people, folks, his great wisdom. He gives us wisdom through the Holy Spirit. Whatever you see in me, whatever you hear of me, it's God, it's not me, because I don't have that ability. But God gives wisdom to me and Brian to be able to help y'all as a church, to guide you in different things. Wisdom is something that you have to be very careful, I think, to ask for. I think that I know everybody would say, well, I'd like to have a lot of wisdom. I'd like to be like Solomon. I'd like to be a lot smarter than I am today and have the wisdom that I would desire. You got to be careful what you ask for, because wisdom is something that can be given to you. And if not used accordingly, if not used wisely, if you let it blow your head up instead of God, then you've used it totally unwisely, and you would have been better off without that wisdom to begin with. But we do know, every one of us has wisdom enough to know that it's through Christ Jesus that we have the knowledge and the wisdom. And it's a rich variety of wisdom. It's just as Paul has said. Because every one of us is different. Every one of us. Me and Brian can sit down to talk, and he'll shoot something to me that I hadn't even thought about. Or maybe I shoot something to him he hadn't even thought about. It's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. It's the Holy Spirit that works in each one of us. And when y'all are talking to me and to different people, I hear this wisdom that floats around, and it's just the riches of having the Holy Spirit that lives within you. It's the church, folks. It's the church that has this opportunity to bring this to different people in the community and different people in the world. It's the church. And through that wisdom, we know that we give God all the praise and all the glory. So we know that, yes, we're wise. We're wise above and beyond most folks sometimes. But how come we're wise? We're wise only because God chose to allow you to have what wisdom you have, what knowledge you have. It's not because of anything you've done. You can go to all the schools you want to go to, and you can be the smartest person that I know, and yet you might not have wisdom because God didn't give you wisdom. You have not sought His wisdom. You've sought the wisdom of the world. Wisdom that has nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with His kingdom. And then it tells us that this was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. All of this come to be because of Christ Jesus our Lord. And then He says, because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because my trials here, I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. So let's look at that just for a few moments. It says, because Christ and our faith in Him, we can come boldly and confident into God's presence. You know, back in the Old Testament, there was a priest, and the priest was the only one that could come into the room, the inner room. He was the only one that could come to God. And so Brian would have to tell me his problems and what he wanted me to lift up to God, and I would lift it up. But folks, the day that Jesus died upon that cross, and the day that curtain was torn, it opened up for you and for me to be able to come and to be able to come into the presence of Jesus Christ and God the Father. I mean, isn't that awesome? That's the most awesome thing that you can imagine. And so He says, now you can come boldly and confidently into the presence of God. So folks, now that it's open, how do we actually come into the presence of God? When we pray, Lord, you know, I got something I'd like to tell you, but I'd like to talk to you about, but I'm just really kind of worried about mentioning it to you. And so we kind of hesitate on our praying. Maybe we just come with a kind of a happy laugh type prayer. Oh, you know, Lord, this is the way it is, and I need you to understand. I'm just in this predicament. That's the way some of us come to the Lord. But folks, I want you to know and understand this morning, you can come boldly to God. You can come on your knees. You can come standing up. You can come going down the road, whatever you want to do, but you can come boldly to Him. God, listen, I want to talk to you. I want to tell you my heart. I want to show you my heart. You know my heart. I want to confess my heart to you. I want you to know, I know my needs, but I want you to know, I know that you're the only one that can make anything happen with these needs. And come boldly to him. Do we? Not very often. Not very often. Because again, if JT walked up on me and I'm acting real boldly about coming to the Lord, he'd say, "Golly, Bill, dude, what's happening to you?" You know. We think that people see us. We think that we're in the presence of other people. But that's one reason he tells us to go to your own closet. Go to your own closet and come boldly to the Lord. Bring your troubles. Bring your desire to be forgiven to the Lord, to God the Father Almighty. You have a direct line. A direct line. Folks, this is so wonderful that we can come so confidently into God's presence. So we see that Paul is saying to him, please don't lose heart. He said, you know, because my trials are here. He said, I'm suffering for you because you should feel honored. Well, how in the world could we feel honored by Paul's suffering for us? I wouldn't want anybody to suffer for me. I don't want anybody to have to take my problems and suffer because of me. But Paul is saying, if I had not been the preacher, if I had not brought this message, if I had not shared this message with the people, and they had heard the good news, they had heard God's plan, I wouldn't be in jail. They wouldn't arrested me. There's nothing for them to have any reason to even look at me. But because I'm preaching the word, because I'm telling you about God's plan of salvation, because I'm telling you about Jesus Christ and how you have this open door to God the Father, then they pick me up and they arrest me and they put me in chains. So y'all shouldn't feel bad about that. You should be happy that I done that, because without me telling you and without me being in jail and in chains, you would never have known. You never would have known one thing about Jesus Christ and how to come to him boldly and confidently through the God the Father. You wouldn't have known. So, y'all, listen, I don't care what they're doing to me, Paul is saying. Y'all should feel honored. You should be happy that this is what's happened. It's hard for us to see things that way. It's hard for us to see that if I walk out the door and they arrest me for preaching today, y'all should feel honored because you've heard the word. It's there for you to read. All you got to do is take a Bible and open it up and read it. But it's good, I think, it's good when we come together as a church and we come together as God's people and we become wiser because we bounce off each other. We're fed through each other. And then as we're fed through each other, then we become wiser. We become more confident. And we're able to come to the Father with more power and more boldness. That's wonderful, folks. But it might not have happened had it not been for the preacher. You think about your life. You think about going back to your young days. And it was because of the preacher. You heard the word. It was because of the preacher that you decided to either not come back to church or to come to church. Both ways. It works both ways. So it's because you've heard someone bring the word, bring God's word to you that makes you think about today coming and being a part of a church, being a part of God's people. It's the most wonderful thing in the world, folks, that we have this opportunity to live in America. So far, we've been able to maintain this wonderful privilege. But folks, do not go to sleep. Do not let these people continue to come around you and continue to push their ways upon you. You stand up for God. You stand up for His way. It's not because of what you think or what you believe. It's what's written right here in this book. It's God's Word. It's not our word. It's not our word to put any kind of claim to. But it's God's word. And when we are confident and boldly proclaiming God's word, it's for Him and for His kingdom and for the people that's hearing it and for the people that one day might not have had that chance to hear it. They may have lived right under your nose and all of your life, and they haven't been to church. They hadn't even heard you witness to them about God. All they've heard is, if you don't move that junk car out of there, I'm tell you what I'm fixing to do to you. I'm going to come over and hook to it and drag it out myself. We get all crossed up with all our neighbors, don't we? Because they don't live exactly like we live. Because they don't look exactly like we look. And so we have problems. Instead, we should be telling them about Jesus Christ. And they would remember us, if not hollering across the fence at what they need to be doing, but they would remember us because we taught and shared with them the love of Christ. How many of us really truly love the people we live beside? You just think about that. You really and truly love them? No. Most folks don't. You stop and you think about it, you're not in love with your next door neighbor. You're not in love with your next door neighbor at all. But we'll come to town and we might talk about Christ just a little bit. Folks, we just have to stop and we just have to think a little bit about our own lives. We desire, I hope you desire, I desire to be a little more Christ-like each and every day. A little more Christ-like. The most humble person we've ever known. The one that loves, he loved everybody. The ones that met sinners on the road, met sinners at the well, never condemned a soul. Never condemned a soul. He would just tell them to go and sin no more. I mean, folks, as we stop and we think about Jesus Christ and how wonderfully He loves us and how wonderful He is to us and the opportunities that we have, and, you know, we just more or less get to thinking that it's all about us. It's us. That Christ, God hadn't really done anything for me. It's just about what I done. I got grown and I moved out and I went to college and I done this and I done that and I done it on my own. Everything I got, I've done it on my own. But you haven't. You hadn't done anything. Because part of the great riches and blessings is being blessed here. It's being blessed while we're here on this earth. And God loves to bless His children just as we like to bless our children. With different things and with different gifts. God loves to bless us. But He blesses us with His Son Jesus and the death and burial and resurrection that someday we can have eternal life. And the riches that will be waiting or that are waiting on us to be inherited are above and beyond anything that we can ever imagine. I hope you think about it. Folks, I hope you think about what Paul's trying to tell them. It's a mysterious plan. It had never been revealed until Christ died upon that cross. And once He died upon that cross, then he started revealing this mysterious plan. And it was up to us. It's up to each one of us to live into it. Whether we do, whether we don't, that's not for me to judge. That's not for me to decide. Just as it wasn't when Jesus was here. He didn't judge people. He just asked them to change. To change the way they live. And to come to know the Father through Him. Because He says there's only one way to the Father. And that's through me. Through Jesus Himself. I hope you think about it as we go back into this world and we stop and we think about our lives and the way that we treat others and the way that we live our lives and even if we think we're one of the best people in the world, we treat everybody wonderfully. How do you really treat God? How do you really treat Him? How do you, when you leave out every morning or wake up every morning, how do you really treat God? Do you give Him thanks and praise and come to Him boldly in prayer? Or do we just get up and think it's all about us and out the door we go? Folks, He loves you. He loves you more than I love you, and I love you a lot. But God loves you more. He loved you enough that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, to pay that sin debt, that we can all be together in His kingdom one day. You think about that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.